Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. If, though, this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. The C-suite is going social in its communications and looking away from corporate channels. I'm joined by the founder of OST Marketing, Luke Brinley-Jones, to talk about this phenomenon. Luke, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. Great to be here.
It's really good to have you here. Before we dive into talking about everything C-suite comms, tell us first of all about your business, which is OST Marketing.
Yeah, so at OST, we're a specialist B2B social media agency. So we're based in the UK, but we work with B2B brands around the globe. We mainly work with tech companies. That's our focus, I guess. And we also mainly work kind of across EMEA. That's our USP. We do social in 8 different languages. So that seems to be our sweet spot. And more recently, as well as kind of corporate channels, we've started to support clients with their CEOs and senior execs present. So that's kind of what led us to this conversation.
Which kind of seamlessly leads into the topic of the day. So thank you for the segue. You're making my life a lot easier already. So Luke, where do you see the C-suite embracing social communications today?
Yeah, so there's an interesting report came out last year, which just highlighted some stats, which I picked up on. So one was that back in 2015, 39% of Fortune 500 CEOs were active on social media. But by 2022, so last year, this number had increased to 70%. So I think that's what we see across social, is these sort of trends happen slowly over time. This one, I think, is a bit quicker than others, maybe because they had some catching up to do. And the other part of that was that of the 70% that are now active on social, 97% of those are on LinkedIn. Mm. So LinkedIn has really sort of, you know, become the place to be in B2B, if you didn't know that already. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the first trend really I've spotted.
And what would you say is the driver of that phenomenon?
So, well, there's a couple of things. So the growth in thought leadership as a B2B marketing tactic has you know continued, and I think that's now got to social. We've had content marketing for a while. I think actively creating content on social that is part of your thought leadership program is something a lot of brands are looking at. So that's a key one. And then we're actually seeing quite a lot of B2B companies as well looking at involving their C-suite in lead generation or lead nurturing as well. So starting to build high level relationships within target customer companies towards, you know, working more with those companies. So there's some of that coming through as well. And then the third bit, which is really interesting, is just the increasing personal usage among senior execs. So we've got the demographic sort of shift. We've now got people who were born in the 80s, even the 90s, who are now in boardrooms. So they've grown up kind of on social. LinkedIn was probably one of their first channels. So that's starting to happen. But then there's also, I think, some wider societal changes and business changes that are driving us in that direction as well.
Okay. And what would you say the implication is for the C-suite brand itself?
So I'll just elaborate on the sort of wider trend a bit, because I think it impacts on that. So there's this, we've seen in the consumer world, the era of sort of no filter, you know, authenticity, coming through, right? If you follow any Instagram influencers, you've seen that. This is now starting to happen in B2B as well, because brands are associating authenticity with trust. Mm. Trust has become a very important thing in a sort of commoditized world. You've got to have that trust coming through. So And with the pandemic sort of on top of this, that got C-suite and senior execs realizing they needed to be part of this. So they needed to have a voice. They needed to be part of the reputation of their brand. The employees started to expect that of their senior execs as well. So I think those additional factors kind of packed on top of the general trends have really pushed C-suite to the fore in this area. So I mean, the implication of all that is that the pressure's on for the C-suite to be active and have a voice and an opinion on social. A little stat here I just pulled out. So the average C-suite exec now posts to LinkedIn 6 times a month and receives an average of 200 engagements per post. So benchmark yourself on that, Dave.
Okay, well, I would say that's a bit of a start, but there's a bit of a way to go yet, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, that's your starting point. But I think a lot of C-suite people look at that and go, gosh, I don't do enough. I'm already behind, you know.
Yeah.
So there's that side of things. And I think the personality bit is really important as well. So this expectation to have a view on an issue, you know, to be present in that discussion. And it's not necessarily for this on the marketing side of things, it's because your employees expect it. So they're looking for leadership, not just in terms of business leadership, but also the human side of it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was so present, you know, a decade ago. Mm. And that really is something that's real. And we're starting to see almost competition between senior execs in companies to be the most present person, to be the most, you know, the one that gets shared.
Love a competition.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing I'll just mention on this, implications, investment. So we're starting to see budgets shifting across into this space, not necessarily from the corporate channels, because they're still very important to manage and maintain in social. But, you know, from PR, that side of things, we're starting to see money coming in. And just to give an example, I know of a CEO, a European CEO of a global tech company. There's around his budget for his social presence is $300,000. So that's his personal social media presence.
Wow.
Budget. Yeah.
That's I was feeling fairly cocky when you quoted on the number of posts that the C-suite were engaging with, but to have that kind of budget is I feel a bit humbled now.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of companies that don't spend that on their corporate social presence who are of that sort of size.
Exactly.
So it does, there is big disparities going on.
Mm. How does the move also changes the nature of the content of the communications themselves? Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so there's a few things at play. One is the more strategic approach. So whereas you would have had a series of posts from a C-suite exec, which would have been them visiting various events and offices and things like that in the past, a bit haphazard, we should say. It's much more strategic now. So certainly for the clients we work with, they have content pillars. They might have a DE&I content pillar. So there's some content going out on that. They've got some thought leadership content going out on that. There's some of their personal activities in life, there's content on that. So there's much more structure to it. And behind that, you've got measurement frameworks and things. So we're starting to see more logic, I guess. Mm. On to another phrase for it. The quality is improving. So
okay.
You've got teams behind these people. So they've got photographers, writers, videographers, et cetera, behind it. And that's important. You've got to come across well, but you mustn't lose the authentic voice of that person. So that's the other thing, is you've actually got to have writers who know the subject, who can write really well and reflect the voice of that individual, or you've got to have them contributing to the content directly. So that's all changing a bit. And the other bit is the personal side. So often you'll find that the most engaged posts are the ones where they push aside the corporate line and go, you know what, I had this experience on a train the other day, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's important as well. That's that sort of coach, leader as coach type thing, where they're sharing life lessons, is a big part of it.
And now this is a business marketing podcast, so I've got to bring it back to marketing. What does all of this mean, would you say, for business marketers?
So I think the big lesson is the massive opportunity that's out there. So we've been, you know, we've been talking about employee advocacy and communications for many years, and there are stats out there. You know, I think it's 30 times more impressions you would get on average from your employees than from the corporate channels, 5 times more leads through employee content than through corporate content. So that is simply, I mean, I haven't seen stats for the C-suite, but I would expect those stats to be way more than that in terms of the impact. So there is this huge opportunity there. And I think the only thing is, for marketers, we're not geared up for this. I mean, this is a different world. You're talking, you know, let's say you've got, I don't know, 6 or 8 very, very senior people whose presence you need to manage. You then might have several hundred people below them whose presence could be equally valuable. You know, so we're talking about employee advocacy at a senior level at scale, and we don't have the skills, resources, budgets to deal with this. So that's the challenge and an opportunity, of course. So that's the thing. I mean, you know, how do you get around those? There's some other as well I would throw in there. Security. So you talk about personal social channels. Will your CEO give you his LinkedIn password to manage that? I do, but you need a very secure way of managing that. There's the data side as well. So you don't get as much data from a personal account as you do from a corporate account. So how do you measure it and evaluate it? So again, lots of challenges for marketers out there.
Okay, so feeling a bit burdened with the challenges. So I mean, from a solutions perspective, maybe could you perhaps suggest a few kind of steps that marketers could take to try and address the kind of rather depressing landscape just like that?
Yeah, it's a little bit daunting. But there are people looking at this. I mean, the other challenge, just to throw in there, is that there's not a lot of literature. There's not a lot out there on this, because
it's a new phenomenon, right?
It's new, and it's also highly confidential. So, you know, if you're Microsoft or whatever, you're not going to publish how you manage your senior exec's social presence and what the results are, because, you know what I mean, it doesn't shed great light on them or you particularly. So it's hard to read up about these things, but there are things out there. So I would say, first of all, get out there, learn about it, listen to things like this and stuff like that. Second one is to identify quick wins. So find somebody within your C-suite who already has a propensity to share. They're a communicator. They perhaps have an audience already, and work on them as a case study. So support them, develop an embryonic program around them, build their presence, support them, measure it, and build the business case. That's the basic starting step. And then from there, you know, you'll learn loads and build it up. That's really the way to get started.
That's great guidance. Luke, it's always good to talk to you. If people want to find out more about OST Marketing, what should they do?
Just Google for ostmarketing.com. We have got some resources about social exec comms, and I'm there. You can message me and chat to me about it as well.
Luke Brinley-Jones, thanks very much for your time today.
Thanks, Dave. Pleasure.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Luke Brinley-Jones. Thanks to our technical person, Alicia Gratian. And thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk.